What's up, everybody? This is Alex once again with the EOT News Flash. This is episode 81. Again, we are consistently the most inconsistent Magic podcast on the internet. And I am joined tonight by the captain himself, Mr. Spell Pierce, directly beneath me. Wait, what's going
I'm
on, Steven?
Captain now?
You are a captain.
Wait, no. I'm the captain now. All right. Is that how we're supposed to do it?
Something like that. How's it going, man?
It's going pretty well. How about you?
It's not bad. I feel like I haven't seen you in over a week.
Yeah, it's been 4 days.
Right about 4 days. Yeah, we saw each other last on Sunday. Last
that
we
was
met.
Pretty great.
Last we met. So yeah, if you are not aware, we spent the weekend in Denver, not to get well together. Yes, but not in a romantic any kind of sense. But the,
how awkward can we get?
I don't know. Can we get awkward? More?
No, let's move on.
Okay, let's move on. So the EOT News Flash team and a bunch of the Texas Magic squad all showed up in Denver for the Grand Prix to battle out Standard, which is strange for me because usually when I play Magic, it's revolving around Snapcaster Mages and Fetchlands, which was not the case this weekend. But yeah, it was a lot of
play
fun.
Legacy?
No, play Modern.
Oh, okay. Just confirming. Hey, Snapcaster fetches, that's something you do in the old Miracles deck.
Yeah. But, and yeah, some people, you can still do it in certain, like, bug decks. It's not terrible.
Yeah. No. I'd be down.
Yeah, it seems pretty good to me.
You should flash back him to Turok and let me know how it goes. Please come play Legacy.
But I have done that, and it does feel good.
Yeah, it's real dirty.
Anyway, we're going to talk about our experience in GP Denver at GP Denver here in just a minute. But first and foremost, you know what I'm tired of, Steven?
Nope.
That was a question to be asked. There's a Nicol Bolas background that if you're on YouTube, you've seen this every single stinking week. And I think it's about time we replaced it with something new, a little more wild. What do you think, Steven?
As long as we're on a boat, I think I'd be okay with that.
We're on a boat? How about a pirate boat? A pirate ship with dinosaurs and Vraska, who is now the seen. She is no longer unseen.
Well, I think we're going to need some confirmation from Wizards. Yeah. I don't think she's ever been seen before, so.
That's probably true. But anyway, if you're watching on YouTube, we're rolling over to the Ixalan spoiler season. It's officially started off as of like over the weekend, I think, because we got 4 official spoilers from Wizards and we wanted to talk about them because dinosaurs are cool. So Steven and I are going to jump right into it. We're going to fire up our first spoiler of the evening. Behold the Bishop of Rebirth. This is a 3-white-white vampire cleric. Wait, white?
Yeah. It's a vampire?
It's a vampire.
I did not realize it was a vampire. Okay, today I learned.
Yeah, so this is a 3-white-white rare vampire cleric. It's a 3/4 with vigilance. And whenever it attacks, you return target creature with converted mana cost 3 or less from the battlefield, from the graveyard, to your battlefield. So it's a terrible Sun Titan. What do you think about the Bishop here, Steven?
I'm pretty excited. I don't know if it'll have merit in the blue-white gift deck, but I would probably try it out.
I mean, it doesn't bring back Gates, but it does bring back your...
It brings back Champion of Wits. That's all I need.
Yeah, because that card's insane. Yeah, this card is actually pretty sweet, but it's no Sun Titan. No ETB trigger kind of hurts it. But yeah, it's a white vampire, and it's pretty cool, actually. So I'm not, you know, completely upset about this card. Looks pretty sweet.
Looks sweet.
Yeah.
Also has vigilance, which is pretty big. I honestly don't know if it'll be that much of a player in Standard outside of maybe the gift deck.
Yeah.
But we shall see.
Yeah. But this next bullet we have is actually a little bit more interesting. This is Unclaimed Territory. This is an uncommon land that enters the battlefield, and you choose a creature type. I'm going to choose Eldrazi, because you can tap it to add a colorless mana, or you can tap it to add any color to your mana pool, spend that mana only to cast creature spells of the chosen type. So it's like Ancient Ziggurats meets Cavern of Souls, but not.
I think I'm going to name Human.
Probably, that seems completely reasonable. Yeah, so what do we think about Unclaimed Territory here?
It's pretty sweet. Basically, a cheaper Cavern of Souls. The fact that it can be countered is, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't think you should be able to play with 8 of those effects in one deck.
Thank God.
And anyway, that territory is already claimed, so.
Yeah, most definitely.
This should be fun.
Yeah, I think go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, as far as the 5-color creature decks go and modern, this is going to give new legs to all those, so you're probably going to see a resurgence in the 5-color humans, 5-color slivers, and then probably this goes straight into Bant Eldrazi, like you mentioned. This card's going to be fun.
Yeah, this is a pretty sweet card. I definitely like it, you know, along, like I keep saying, like 5-color slivers and 5-color humans. The Pillar of the Pyrons deck probably will take this.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
If that deck is actually any good, it's completely beside the point. This is just a cool card. It makes me think that we're going to get some cool tribal synergies out of Ixalan, but that is to be seen. But I think this is a really cool piece of mana fixing here.
Wait, do you think there might be 4 main tribes? That'd be pretty cool.
I would say at least 4. I mean, we have our humans, we have vampires, we have
dinosaurs.
Oh yeah, dinosaur. Dinosaurs and merfolk. There we go.
In
yeah.
BT dubs, the humans are actually pirates. So, spoiler alert.
Well, what about pirate dinosaurs?
I'm sure there's going to be like some parrot that's going to get the creature type pirate dinosaur. It's going to be fantastic.
I just remember we had a very in-depth conversation about one particular pirate dinosaur all the way through the hallway at GP Denver, and that was a really long hallway, which made for a very long conversation. Thanks, Drew.
Pirate dinosaur.
It might have been a I forget.
I don't think I was there for that conversation.
I think you might have. Oh yeah, you already went to the room. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, you missed out.
Yeah, I was having a peace out early on Sunday. Which, by the way, I barely made my flight. So I was running to the airport, running to the train station to go to the airport. And as I'm just about to like take off running, like legit, I'm gonna run with my 2 bags. These 2 guys pop up beside me. And they're like, "Are you heading to the train station?" I was like, "Yeah, I am. I have to be at the train station in 5 minutes, but my app says I'm going to be there in 8 minutes.
Oh no.
So I think I need to like take off real quick." And I was like, "Wait, do you guys just want to split an Uber to the airport?" And they're like, "Sure." I was like, "Sweet." And then I made it on time.
I'm assuming these are Magic players, not just strangers.
Yeah. Yeah. They were Magic guys.
Okay.
let me think. It was, Shane, and you can keep talking and I will figure out who the other gentleman was, but it was a nice trip. The Shane made 65th, and then the other guy got 25th, and his name was Joshua, and they were both actually from Houston, so that was a cool conversation.
Very cool.
In the car ride back.
Magic is the thing that separates no one in this world. We are all we are all planeswalkers.
Yeah.
But let's look at another sweet card here. It's our first dinosaur. Are you ready for this, Steven? Are you ready? Are you ready for the Burning Suns Avatar? Holy crap, look at this thing. For 3 generic and 3 red mana, you get a dinosaur avatar at rare. It's a 6/6, and when it enters the battlefield, it deals 3 damage to target opponent and 3 damage up to 1 target creature. This thing's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty gas. Although, I kind of wish it had the attack clause as well, but that's okay.
Yeah, and I wish it had haste, because when you see this art, it is literally, like, on fire and running at something.
Yeah, it's on fire. Like, it's a haste, yeah.
Yeah, if you just look at this art without the text on the card, you're like, oh, of course it has haste. No, it doesn't have haste. This is stupid.
Maybe they were afraid they'd get in trouble with Hearthstone.
Probably.
Because if they did that and it's, like, has this type of effect. I don't know if there's a dinosaur that ETB'd killed a creature and had haste. But I know there's like the silly 8 mana, or sorry, is it, it's 6 or 8 mana, but it's like a 10-10 or an 8-8 that has charge but can't attack players.
Yeah, yeah, and I think Eternal has a card very similar to this as well.
Interesting. Yeah,
I was just about to say, nothing is unique anymore. It's just ripping each other off back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, if it ain't fixed, if it ain't broken, why fix it?
Exactly, yeah.
Wait.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So I think one other thing that would be really entertaining from, like, a law background is between the three games, you know, Hearthstone, MTG, and Eternal, I wonder how close their lawyers are just like, okay, that can slide. Yeah, we can argue that. But this, no.
Well, I know that, like, Magic has trademarked the tap symbol and a lot of, mm-hmm. you know, like, all of the names and things like that, but I don't think you can actually trademark the keywords. And even if they have, I think if you could trademark trample, I don't think you can trademark the action of trampling. Because I know that, like, both Hearthstone and Eternal both have analogs to that, and flying, and lifelink, and haste, and all kinds of nonsense, so.
Yeah, I also find it pretty interesting, too, like, just whenever you have cards, like, for instance, Lightning Bolt and Shaman is just an overload 1, deal 3 damage.
Yeah.
Cost 1. So, yeah. Like, you know, Magic is obviously 1 red, Lightning Bolt, deal 3 damage, and just like... I wonder where that came from.
Yeah, I mean, and you gotta remember that most of the people that actually designed Hearthstone also have played a lot of Magic.
Yeah, it's and, totally fair.
Yeah, and the designers of Eternal are also Magic pros.
Yep.
I mean, these things happen. But let's look at our last spoiler for the evening, and we'll get on to more exciting things. We've got the super thematic but very, very underwhelming Walk the Plank. 2 black for a sorcery, Steven. Not an instant. Uncommon. Destroy target non-merfolk creature. What'd you think about Walk the Plank?
I'm not sure exactly which deck is going to be able to utilize this best, seeing as it's sorcery speed.
Black decks.
I'm going to guess it's probably merfolk. But, yeah, should be cool. I think vampires would be able to use it pretty well as well.
Yeah, do you think we're going to see black merfolk, though?
I honestly have no idea. There were some of the spoilers that got leaked during GP Vegas, and there was, like, one blue-black card that looked pretty sweet but ended up just being a pirate.
Yeah.
So, not really sure.
Yeah, although... It is interesting that you like to walk the plank would not actually kill a merfolk, so it might just not be anything related to merfolk in general, just a kill spell.
Yeah,
that's just super wonderful.
I know some people have said that the blue figure in the background is a goblin, in which case like everyone's hyped on goblins coming back, but I honestly don't
know. It's more like a troll.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a strange creature.
Or perhaps a very lean Oompa Loompa.
Sure.
We'll go with that. We'll go with Oompa Loompas. All right. So that does it for Ixalan spoilers. Of course, we are just about like a month out from the pre-release. So I fully expect to get like a really huge amount of spoilers probably kicking up within the next week or so, if I had to guess. You know, definitely within, I would say, the beginning of next month, maybe like September 4th, we'll actually see some spoilers. Upper Labor Day weekend would be pretty cool, if you ask me.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
But we'll see what happens. So, anyway, let's talk GP Denver. Let's talk fun times. So, well, let's kind of we'll reminisce here, Steven. You got in at what time on Friday?
Oh, I actually got in on my first flight, so I was like 2-3 hours earlier than I was expecting to be.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I think it was like 5 p.m. or so.
Nice.
That was pretty fun.
Yep. My flight was miserable. I flew Frontier, which if you've never flown Frontier, imagine sitting in one of those desk chairs that you sat in elementary school with a piece of rubber over it to simulate a cushion and not be able to move for 4 hours.
Sounds fantastic.
It was hell.
Hey, I mean, Spirit and Frontier are both really nice at being cheap flights, but...
Oh my goodness, the flight
was
cheap.
Sure, might not be the best.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, because after driving 3 hours to Orlando from Fort Myers, and then standing in the security line, also from hell, I don't know if I could have taken any more of that nonsense, but...
Okay.
Yeah, it was my first time in Denver in well over 10 years, so it was pretty cool to get to go back and actually see it with, you know, adult eyes to actually, you know, be able to go and do whatever I wanted to instead of having to worry about what my chaperones had to go and do, so that was pretty sweet. But yeah, we got to the convention center. We got to see the giant bear outside. I'm not sure whether it's a giant bear.
The giant blue bear. Yeah. Did you see the blue horse leading up to the airport?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, so apparently they're like a duo. Uber driver
was it was it a Bronco, do you think?
Yeah, it was.
Sports.
It was a Bronco, not a horse. But apparently it had fallen over on the artist and killed him.
Oh my God.
That's a fun fact that our Uber driver informed us of.
What the hell?
Unfortunate. I know, right? Like, and I was just thinking how that would happen. It's just like you're walking around it and maybe a support gives out or something. That's got to be rough.
So it sounds like it hadn't been refurbished.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, moving on. The convention center is pretty sweet. I thought it was very, very, very nice venue. I thought that it was Cascade Games that ran it. I thought they did a really good job actually running the tournament. Lots of space. Give us a quick recap, a brief recap of your tournament experience, Steven. The highs and the lows.
Okay. The first few rounds were pretty rough because they took at least like an hour 30, hour 40 minutes to process everything.
Oh, yeah.
But once the ball actually got rolling deep into day one, it was pretty nice. It was only about an hour and 20-minute turnaround, so... We ended up getting out a little bit later than we were hoping for the meetup that we had for the podcast, but
which was plenty of fun.
Yeah, it was still good, and we got to hang out.
Yep.
But as far as the highs go, I got to play Sean round 5, I believe. We were both 4-0, and it was funny because neither of us had seen each other leading up to that point.
Yeah,
and we go sit down and just like, well, glad to see you're doing well. And then I informed him that I had win percentage at table one. So, it is now 50%.
Hey,
and it was a good tournament overall. A lot of fun hanging out with everyone.
Yeah, yeah. And what was your final standing was for the tournament?
I ended up 11-4 and snuck in at 60th place. So
excellent.
I got a GP coupon.
There you go. What's a GP coupon?
It's not enough, but it's a discount on the next one.
you kind of faded out there for a minute, Steven. What was the GP coupon again?
Oh, a GP coupon, it's not enough to pay for everything, but it's a small discount on the next one.
Ah,
Andrew clever. Solano coined the term.
Very clever. Very clever. Yeah, so I did not get my GP coupon, unfortunately. I did, however, get my very first day two from anything. So whether it's an SCG Open or a GP, I finally got my day two, winning my win-in at 5-3 going into the 9th round, and managed to finally beat Mono Red, the bane of my existence this weekend. Took it in 2 games to lock up my day two. I also played a fellow Texas player, Mickey Humphreys was there, and we played in round 3. Unfortunately, he took a pretty hard mulligan in game 2, which let me Ulamog his lands away. I also got to play, I'm gonna butcher his name, and I do apologize to him because he's a really, really nice guy, but Yam Wing Sum, who, if you guys saw Pro Tour Hour Devastation, the semifinals, he was the guy who messed up with the Hazaret, who tried to attack with 2 cards in his hand, not 1 card. And if you're curious if he forgot how Hazaret worked during the tournament, he did not, because he killed me with it both games.
Wah-wah.
Yeah. I've never seen some, other than probably James, play a mono red deck or some kind of burn deck so methodically. Like, every time he drew a card, it was tap, 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 look at all the mana, look at all the things on the board, look at all the, marks on the page. It's like, okay, he's at 18 points alive. And like, I was like, oh my God, he's like seeing into the future right now. And it just completely destroyed me. Like, it was a masterclass. Completely amazing. And then the wheels fell off for me in day two. I did not win a single game on day two, except for my no-show, which I don't count. So yeah, 7-7 on the weekend, but by far my best record at any GP that I've ever played in. So I was pretty proud of myself. I think I came in at like 308th place, I think. So out of like, I think 1,100 people, I'll take it.
Oh, there were actually 1,200.
Ah, even better.
Yep. Raising up your percentage point there.
Yeah. And of course, you know, every win is, you know, like 24 million Planeswalker points. So it's just getting me towards those buys for the next GP that I want to go to or anything like that. So it was a lot of fun playing Standard again because I didn't have to worry about some stupid combo deck in Modern that I never heard of. And I just knew what everyone was playing as soon as they played their first land.
You didn't play against New Perspectives, did you?
No, I did not. Although I did play against...
There's a silly combo deck in Standard.
I did play against Jund Energy, which I had no idea what was going on until I saw the fourth Aethersphere Harvester out of his deck. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I've already blown up the first three, and there's another one. Ronus is a beatdown with the elephant dude, the one mana 3/4, or however big it is.
Yeah,
Greenbelt
Rampager.
Yeah, that thing's real. Holy mackerel. But anyway. Yeah, I thought the tournament was a lot of fun. Let's dig into the top eight, though, here real quickly for tonight, Steven. Let me jump back to the decks. So,
probably the most ridiculous set of top eights back-to-back, in my opinion.
Yeah, so we've got Brad Nelson in first place playing Timur Energy, and also his brother, Corey Bauermeister, also playing an identical 75-card Timur Energy deck. That's back-to-back top eights for both of them. It was Minneapolis and now Denver. These guys are on fire.
And it's even more impressive than that because in the last four GPs, I believe Corey top eighted the standard GP before Omaha. Brad mm-hmm. Nelson won Omaha.
Yes.
And then you had... And this one where they both top eighted. Like, they are doing excellent.
Yeah.
In Standard right now.
Yeah, most definitely. And in second place, we had Brian Brown-Dewin, the reigning world champion, also playing Timur Energy, John Rolfe playing Red Deck Wins, Remnant Up Red. In third place, Bauermeister, of course, in fourth with Timur Energy, Gregory Michael playing Blue-White Monument, a deck that I declare to be the worst deck in Standard, making top eight.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure whenever that was announced and making top eight, everyone was just like, wait, what?
Yeah, I don't... He must have like, bribed his opponents, because this deck is terrible.
No. So it's just like you got the good matchups. Like, the fact that Timur Energy was so big, the only way they have to deal with Monument is the Abrades. And while their deck can go pretty big in the air, like, the Monument deck has Selfless Spirit, Bygone Bishop, and the 5-mana 2/2. So, like, it can gum up the air just as much as it can gum up the ground, which is going to be a problem for the Timur deck to punch through. And then it's just naturally good against Mono Red, which those two decks just so happen to be the two decks of the tournament. So, I guess it was an amazing metagame call, if anything.
Yeah, playing 4 Authority that counts as in the sideboard probably didn't hurt his Mono Red matchup either.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
Much help.
Yeah, exactly. Then in sixth place, we had Mono Black Zombies piloted by Colin Roundtree, who I believe is a Texas native.
I think he's from Austin or Houston.
Yeah. And then in seventh place, we had Zachary Kinney? K-I-I-H-N-E? Kinney? Sure. Playing Mono Red. And then in eighth place, Sam Pardee, running back his, not his save deck, but also after he top-aided Protar Hour Devastation, also playing Mono Red. So, pretty insane. Pretty insane top eight.
He played against Mono Red at the PT and then was like, this deck.
Yeah.
And he took it to Denver and was just like, got him.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit of a rant here really quickly. And if you watch the video blog that's going to go live later this weekend, you will see just how mad I actually got.
Uh-oh.
So I played against Mono Red 4 times this weekend and lost 3 of those 4 matchups. That deck is stupid. It is unfair.
I disagree. It's just you were playing a deck that it just so happened to be your worst matchup.
Yeah, I mean, playing Green and Ramp was probably... I mean, it worked out just fine day one.
Yeah, I mean, no, so honestly, I think you had a good choice because, like, Green Red Ramp can still beat the red deck. It's just very, very hard.
Yeah.
And then as far as, like, the Timur and Zombies go, like, you should be favored, but if Timur finds all their negates or their Chandras, it's hard for you to take it down.
Yeah, and that was the problem. Like, day one, I never got into a situation where I drew the wrong half of the deck at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Day two, that's what happened. So a deck that's mostly ramp spells and only a handful of threats, I drew the ramp and the setup spells. And playing against these control decks who like hold up the sensor for your turn three play, you're like, okay, Gift of Paradise, or like, ah, censor you. Like, ah, well, okay.
So you can still four, and then you can crack your clue. And like, you get a play around sensor and everything, it's great.
But then they're just holding up disallow.
Oh, I know. You gotta make them. You gotta peel off the Band-Aid at some point, right?
I know, and I basically, like, as soon as I took my first loss in round 10, I basically said I'm going to play the rest of this tournament like they don't have it, and unfortunately, they had it every single freaking time.
That's magic, man.
Yeah. The only thing that was worse than them actually having the counterspell was to have my opponent in round 14 cast Nicol Bolas and plus it and hit my other Chandra and kill my Chandra with my stolen Chandra.
How did your Chandra get down to 2?
It was at 6.
Oh, yeah. Wait, are you talking about Chandra?
Yeah, Big Chandra. I cast Chandra, okay. I attacked with it, and then he cast Nicol Bolas and said, okay, plus this, and Chandra right off the top card. I was just like,
yeah,
this is
that's pretty brutal.
Six my Chandra, exiled card from my hand, kept the wind counter magic, I cast something, he countered it, and then on his turn, he 7 damaged me with Nicol Bolas and hit me for 6 with Chandra. I was like, well, that's magic. But yeah, I had a lot of fun at GP Denver, and I'm really glad that Sean found me a cheap flight to take, because otherwise I probably wouldn't have gone. But it was a really great time to see yourself, Steven, see Sean, Dustin, Hal, Drew, Mickey, who am I forgetting? Kevin,
Zach.
GP master brewer extraordinaire Zach Elsick was there. Great, great time with him. Always fun hanging out with those guys. What was that place we went to eat at? Sam's number 4?
It was number 3.
Number 3. Oh my god.
Yeah, that place was pretty good.
Oh my god. I had a burger instead of a taco.
Yeah.
What a great place that was. And then, yeah, like, Denver's just a cool city. Like, it's kind of got that hipster vibe to it, but I'm a fan of Denver. I could see living in Denver. It's not a bad place to go.
Right on.
Yeah. So yeah, any other closing thoughts on GP Denver overall here, Steven?
No, just excited to lock up the 2 pro points and hoping I can carry that over into, you know, the next few GPs I go to.
Yeah, because you're headed to GP DC, correct?
No, I'm going to be going to GP Indianapolis tomorrow.
That's right, yeah.
And then I'm heading to Grand Prix Turin in Italy.
Yeah, I was about to ask, where exactly is Turin?
Yeah, it's northwest Italy.
That's going to be sweet.
Pretty excited. We were already planning on going to vacation to Italy, and then it just so happened that, you know, there was a Grand Prix, and we extended our vacation a few days.
There you go. That's pretty sweet. I'm pretty jealous about that. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw our good friend, French Ben, there as well. He might show up. I don't know. But yeah, so GP Denver was super sweet. I'm glad I went, and I cannot wait to play in another one soon. So hopefully there's another, you know, center GP that's nearby sooner than later.
Hey, DC is pretty close if that's soon enough for
it's,
you.
It's Labor Day weekend, and I'm going to Busch Garden, right. And I'm going to Busch Gardens instead.
Okay, fair enough. Well, then you should come down for what, GP Oklahoma City, which is modern, in December. Or late November, one of those.
Speaking my language, Steven.
Yeah. I'm sure the rooms are already being put together.
Oh, for sure. We'll get on that one, and hell yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, man.
All right. So, last little bit of fun stuff tonight. As many of you know, Steven and I and Sean as well have been streaming a lot of Magic Online lately in preparation for GP Denver, but also just randomly we'll do drafts, sealed tournaments, and things like that. And I know that Steven's excited about the Vintage Leagues that are starting very, very soon.
Oh, yeah.
But today, or actually yesterday, I suppose, we had the announcement for the Throwback Standard Gauntlet 7. And I was curious because the tagline was The Return of Cobblade. And I'm like, wait a second, what's going on here? So I clicked on it. And then I realized what I was in for. And you guys will see me streaming a lot of this in the next coming weeks. Is basically what you get here is, I think it's 8 or 10 decks, Steven. Is it 8 or 10 decks? I think it's 8.
Oh, it varies based on which gauntlet that's going on.
Okay, cool.
So I'm not too familiar with this one because they changed it last minute.
Yeah, so what we're getting to do here is that you get to go back and play the best decks from a particular standard season. So standard 2009-2010. And this was the last time that anything got banned prior to, Swugglish Copter, Reflector Mage, and Emrakul. So this was back when Stoneforge and Jace the Mind Sculptor were still legal in standard. So
only a little busted.
Only a little bit busted. So let's run through these decks really quickly here, Steven, just to kind of break down, what you can play with in the standard Threat Gauntlet 7 World Awake. In first, we've got Naya, which is just Bloodbraid Elves, Wild Mikotals, and Loithoc Charge and Baneslayer Angels. Cool.
Right on.
Cool. Yeah, it's worth noting that some of these decks feel like modern decks. We have fetch lands. We have lightning bolts. We've got Path to Exile. We have some of the most powerful planeswalkers ever printed. We have goblin guides. This is going to be so much fun. So we've got Naya. That's super cool. Naya is surprisingly not playing Stoneforge Mystic. That's weird.
Keep in mind these decks are from all around that standards time.
Yeah.
So this deck might not have been... Oh, no, it said, let's see, 2 Stoneforge Mystics?
Let's see.
Oh, they're saying afterwards.
Yeah. Okay, I see. Yeah. That's not cool.
Well, no. So the thing with the throwback gauntlets is you don't want to pick a deck that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, you don't want to pick the best deck because then there might be a clear, like, oh, I really hope I get this one. If they can dumb them down just a little bit, then, you can have a competitive gauntlet where everyone has a shot. In the last one, whenever you get greater good, and then your deck just happens to be bugged, and then you have to file for reimbursement once you see what your deck is.
Yeah, but there's a deck in here that's the best deck. We'll get to it, though. Quote-unquote best deck, yeah. We also have Jund here as well, which features Bloodbraid Elf, Putrid Leech, Sprouting Thrynax, Broodmate Dragon, Maelstrom Pulse, Lightning Bolts. Again, all kinds of really fun magic cards. This is just... this is going to be so much fun. Blightning. I freaking love Blightning. Oh my god.
And you even get the artwork for Magic Online, or was that a dual deck?
I think it's a dual... I think it's Sword versus Tybalt, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, right on.
If I had to guess. Yeah. Then we have... they have mislabeled this next deck. They're calling it Conscription based off of the card Eldrazi Conscription. This deck's actually called Mythic Bant. And that is because every sinking card in this deck is Mythic Rare. Or pretty damn close. So let me run down this list for you, Steven. Jace the Mind Sculptor, 4 of. Elspeth, Knight Errant, 3 of.
And here come the rares.
Yeah, Birds of Paradise, 4. Hierarch, 4. Lotus Cobra, 4. Knight of the Royal Quarry, 4. Sovereigns of La Solara, 4. This is the one that actually goes and fetches out Eldrazi Conscription. If you're not familiar with Eldrazi Conscription, it is an 8-mana tribal enchantment Eldrazi aura that enchants a creature and gives it +10/+10 and Annihilator 2.
So you just throw it on your Bird of Paradise and get in there?
Yes!
That's funny.
And Sovereigns of Lost Alara, it's exalted. It's a 4/5. It's 4 blue and a white. And whenever a creature you control attacks alone, you may search your library for an aura card that can enchant that creature, put it on the attached creature, and then shuffle your library.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Because you didn't even have to attack with that. You just, play that, then do something else.
Bingo.
Jeez.
And you're already playing Explorers in this deck as well, so you can put this thing down on, turn 4 and maybe have a Paradise bird up to attack with.
Yeah, so let's see. You'd bird turn 1, then turn 2, you'd play Lotus Cobra off the bird, then you play land, play Noble Hierarch. So that's 1, 2, 3 sources of mana. Then you play Fetch land on the next turn, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's maybe not four, but five.
Okay, so you need your turn two to play your Noble Hierarch. That one needs to be a fetch land, and you don't crack it. Then that'll be 7 mana.
You're right. Yeah.
Well, 6 mana plus you get to keep one of your dorks back. Jeez.
Yeah. Sick.
That's gonna be fun.
Yeah, Vic's insane. I'm super excited to play this one. Not as excited as I am to play this next deck, though. Did you ever play with Cobblade, Steven?
No, I started playing Magic at M13, before I turned Ravnica.
Oh, man. So after they banned Jason Stoneforge, I built a budgeted version of Cobblade for my girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
Girl goes 4-0 with it at FNM. Just annihilates the field. But, so this is the deck that got Jace and Stoneforge 6 banned. We have 4 Jace the Mind Sculptor in this deck. 1 Jace Balerion, because you had to kill your opponent's Jaces with your baby Jaces. So that was a thing back
then.
That's
fantastic.
Yeah. Consecrated Sphinx, because that card's amazing. 4 Stoneforge Mystic. 4 Squadron Hawks, because that card is absurd. And then it's just Feast and Famine, Batter Skull, War and Peace, and then a whole bunch of counter magic and 1 mana removal and dismember. Yeah, this deck was real fair.
That's pretty sweet.
Oh yeah, this deck played Inkmon Vexus too.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, you just throw your Batter Skull on it and it just kills them in 2 hits.
Exactly, yeah. It's sweet.
Cool.
This deck's ridiculous.
Was there no way to shuffle in your graveyard at all?
No, there was not, unfortunately.
Okay, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how it played, but yeah, it seems spicy.
Yeah, I mean the main engine of the deck was just to be able to play Squadron Hawks and then only get like 1 or 2 out of the deck. That way you could use Jace's Brainstorm ability to put them back in the deck and then just draw more and more cards. And basically you out-temper your opponent with Mana Leaks and Spell Pierces as you back up with Squadron Hawk hits with the swords. It was miserable to play against.
Yeah, I could see you even have the Stoneforge Mystic as a way to shuffle too. Jeez.
Yep, this deck was stupidly powerful. And then
I can see that.
Yeah, I love it though. So good, so good. We also have Blue-Black Control, the Guillaume Matignon and Waffle Tapa deck. That's basically just Jace the Mind Sculptor and a lot of counter magic and removal spells. Awesome. And Grave Titan. Can't forget Grave Titan.
Was the Ratchet Bomb to beat the Mirror's Grave Titan tokens?
I would imagine that's correct.
Cool.
I don't know. Maybe. But yeah, this deck is super cool. I absolutely love it.
Jeez, this deck got to play Duress and Inquisition together?
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of brutal. Or standard, at least.
Oh, yeah. Man, I miss old standard. That's all I'm going to say about that. Then we've got Boros Stoneblade, which is basically just this aggro Boros deck that was playing Stoneforge Mystic, Steplinks, Goblin Guide, Squadron Hawks, you know, just straight up red-white aggro deck. And then we've got a pair of decks which are very near and dear to my heart, and I'm not entirely sure why they actually put both of these decks into this, because the first one is Twinblade, which is Splinter Twin featuring Stoneforge Mystic.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you get to play with Jace the Mind Sculptor in this deck?
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap.
So like you were saying, you weren't playing back then. There's actually a bunch of different variants of this deck. So there's this Jeskai build, and then there is a almost like a Grixis version, which they called Shadow Blade for a while, or just Shadow Twin, which in order to beat the Mirror, they actually dropped the white after Stoneforge got banned, and they started playing Inquisition of Kozilek.
Okay, yeah, because you just take the part of the piece that... Yeah, okay, I got
you. It was just a wacky time to be playing like this, to be playing Splinter Twin, and just it's amazing, and this deck is just... Oh my god, I'm so excited to play these decks again.
Man, I'm just glad we never got another Splinter Twin combo in Standard. Like, I'm sure that'd be a mistake if they ever did that.
Yeah, almost like they did.
Well, no, that was a Guardian, not an Exarch, right? Right?
Whatever.
I mean, they only spoiled it, and 2 hours later the internet found out it went infinite. I mean, what can you do?
The other deck that I'm very excited to play also is just straight up Splinter Twin. This one is not playing Jace the Mind Sculptor, but it is playing my favorite shrine, the Shrine of Piercing Vision, that lets you basically scry your entire library.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
If this thing came down on turn two, you had to race it for a blue for a card that drew cards. So random. We've also got Valakut Ramp, which is just Primeval Titans and Green Sun Zeniths and ramp spells and stuff. And then we have our last deck, which is a mono red burn deck and mono red shrine. We've got Hunter's Phoenix, Goblin Guide, Eberhauler, Hero of Oxenridge, and the Shrine of Burning Rage, which, if you aren't ready for it, would kill you on turn five.
That's fantastic. Man, yep. I really like seeing Hero of Oxenridge, because that was actually the card that I started with whenever I played Magic. Because I played a white-red humans deck, and he was the finisher alongside Hellrider.
Yeah.
That deck was a lot of fun. I know it was kind of bad, but... seeing that card brings back memories.
That card's insane. I mean, it's really good.
Yeah.
But in the format where Lightning Bolt was one of the most played removal spells, it's not that great.
Yeah. Still fun.
Oh, yeah. Still super fun. But, yeah, I am super pumped to play the Throwback Gauntlet. I'm going to do it at least once a week for the next couple of weeks until it goes away. So definitely remember to check out this stream over at twitch.tv/EOTNewsflash. I imagine Steve will also be doing it as well.
I probably won't be doing the Throwback Gauntlet, but I will be streaming in preparation for GP Turin, and my stream's going to be in Italian. Don't worry, I won't be speaking in Italian. Although I will be trying to pronounce things in Italian. I'm gonna make sure that if my opponent can only speak Italian, that we have some ability to communicate throughout the match, because I don't want to be having to call a judge just so I can go to combat and things like that.
Yeah, I would learn how to say basic things in Italian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I've already been practicing to some degree and not very good at it, to be honest.
I was about to ask you to give us a demonstration. Yeah,
we're working on it.
So yeah, next week on the EOT Newsflash, you can come here for a lesson in Italian from the Mr. Spellpierce himself.
I apologize. I will be in Italy already, so I will not be on the next two casts. Just give me 3 weeks, man.
Okay, 3 weeks. And you come back and you can speak your entire segment in perfect Italian. Call the shot now.
We're not coming back, folks.
Oh, man. It's going to be really low man here then.
Nah, it'll be good.
Yeah, that's going to be super.
I can say a few things of what I learned. Why not?
Okay. Would you like to demonstrate right now for us?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, that's fair.
We'll wait till later to make an absolute fool of ourselves.
Hey, what better time than the present, right?
Well, it's the future, but sure.
Yeah, that is a problem for future Steven to deal with.
Yeah, exactly. Tomorrow we'll figure out the answer.
There we go. And I'll be asleep still.
Yep.
So, yes. I this has been it's great to be back, obviously. I'm super excited for, upcoming standard events. Ixalan looks super sweet already, despite some underwhelming removal. I'm super excited for the... It's one spell, yeah.
We are getting a pithing needle that peaks at their hand.
Yeah,
what
we are.
What more could you ask for?
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll do the full set review eventually. We'll get to that. But yeah, be on the lookout for more of the more streams from Steven and I. Steven, what is your stream again for people not aware of it?
Okay, so it is twitch.tv/sspellpierce. Yes. So exactly like you'll see in the show notes.
There you go. You can also find us over on Twitter at @EOTNewsflash. Find Steven at @sspellpierce. Over on Facebook, just look for the EOT Newsflash. And check us out over on YouTube, because I'm going to be uploading the video blog from GP Denver and all of my commiseration and probably Sean's salty soapboxing as well. Probably this
weekend.
Guess
who forgot to do their vlog? Hey, I was going to do a wrap-up, and then I just got home and hit the bed and fell asleep.
Yeah.
I was going to do a wrap-up.
Lots of excuses.
It was planned. You can see the reminder on my phone.
Oh, well, that's not doing a whole lot of good for us right now. Oh, well, we forgive you. Your 60th place has given you immunity from the wrath of the video blog gods.
Oh, man, I thought that would have made it even more so, but...
No. They are forgiving gods. They're benevolent, if anything.
Yeah, that must have been a nice gift they gave me then.
God. That's it. I'm done.
Hey, man, I didn't have to go too far to invent that joke.
Oh, God.
You better stop before someone has more inquiries.
Stop fabricating all these bad jokes, Steven. Okay. Say the line, Steven.
All right. Let's do it again, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for watching.